Done yet?
No. 11 hours and I'm cooked.
Okay. The bed will be very comfortable.
But that's a sad part.
Oh. That is sad. I'm sorry.
Then I won't wake up and still wake up into the night.
No, you're fine.
Every time.
In the 2 years since Myanmar's military ousted Aung San Suu Kyi's elected government, airstrikes like this have become a new and deadly tactic in a civil war that is now a brutal stalemate across much of the country.
Just a minute, but first, here's another minute. WWV, all the time. Same time, same station, every time. WWV. 1, 2, 3, 4. Every second counts at WWV. For a good time, call 555-4-WWV. WWV, for the time of your life.
Anon Radio is your non-commercial, non-profit, member-supported underground radio station.
Powered by the SDF Public Access Unix System.
It's 1900 UTC, and that means it's time for That's News to Me. I'm your host, DJ Marcus. Let's see what's happening in the world today.
Oh my gosh.
Oh boy. Greetings. Welcome. It's 1909 UTC. Oh, sitting down in the shady spot. Ooh. So, a bit of an adventure to get to the news before the news. Bad idea. Short version. Come on, wrap it up. We're online. Okay, so, I have a ticket that I need to pay. And I'm supposed to, I have to show up at court on Monday if I don't pay it beforehand. Now, in the city of Austin, what you do, anytime you get a ticket, as long as it's not a criminal thing, you get a ticket, You just go on the website, you put in your ticket number, and you give them a credit card, and it's paid, and you're on your way. Well, apparently, the DPS doesn't work that way. So I was trying to figure out how to pay my ticket online, and apparently I have to make a phone call. So I was going to call after news to me, and I was like, okay, better hurry up. And it was already 1900 UTC, so I hurry, and I'm rushing, and oh, somebody's left some donuts out. All right, so I grab a donut, and I'm walking out here, putting it up, and you know, wouldn't you know it, putting headphones in with one hand while holding a donut while walking through an office and talking to people is a lot more difficult than you'd imagine. And so, my dear friends, then I got the thing going, and there's everybody and their mom. Almost never, never has there ever been anyone walking with me whenever we're going to news to me time. But since I was a few minutes behind, apparently it was everybody's time to go home. So I think I may have even been broadcasting while I was making banter and making small talk in the elevator. So if you heard that, I'm sorry you had to hear that. You can always SSH over to sdf.org to tell me how dumb I am, or to just in general talk about the news story that's going on and hanging out with cool people. SSH over to sdf.org and then launch COM, or Commode Chat as it's known. Just type COM and press enter. And then boom, you can complain with me about people who are turning way too sharply left, or people who are turning without using turn signals. I think I hear a motorcycle. I do hear a motorcycle. But they're at the big road. They're over there on the big road, so not our friend the blue Harley rider or the white shadow guy. So unfortunately, nope, no dice. We're striking out. Anyway, after I ate that, thank goodness. After I ate that donut, my stomach said, "Hey, this is too much going on in here. We're gonna make you feel bad." And so as I'm walking over here, I'm like, "Oh no, I might have to run back in." Like, literally bail on the show to run into the facilities. But now that I got some sun and I'm up on the roof, it's subsided. So, we can do it. We're going to make it. Let's check in with our pals in COM and all the people that are cool out there in the command mode chat, COM mode chat. We got Ratsu and F-Fog hanging out, Gerbil Fat and Jay LaMoth. Reminder, you can also use XMPP if you want. We also have Tin from Berlin and Quentin. So we are live with MNW. That is correct, Quentin. We are live. F-Fog's in the house, as well as... Looks like X-Fog, as F-Fog, and the rest of the crew. There's a total of 74 people. Lots of duplicates, but there's 74-ish people. Why are there so many duplicates? I don't know. Anyway, F-Fog, X-Fog, my arch nemesis. sorry about that. anyway, I was thinking I might have seen X1, but he's probably not here yet. Anyway, or they're probably not here yet. all right, well, we've got plenty of time to talk about news. You know, we had a lot of news stories. And I've got them pulled up here, but I think I can summarize quite a few of them because a lot of them kind of are circling similar things. But I want to be sure we get at least the death and destruction going, because today is August 31st, 2023, and it's 37 degrees C out here. So we want to be sure and get the death and destruction going. So first, dun dun dun, a wake-up call, a very rude wake-up call in Johannesburg. According to President Cyril Ramaphosa, a deadly fire in Johannesburg's inner city was a wake-up call for South Africa, says the president. 74 people were killed, including 12 children, after a blaze in a five-story building, which was being occupied by homeless people. More than 50 others were injured. Now, that's kind of a bummer. If you want to know, if you feel weird and you're like, why are there so many homeless people in my neighborhood or whatever, I'd encourage you to look back and watch a movie called The Muppets Take Manhattan. And the Muppets, there's a whole song, and the Muppets live in a place where there's a cheap, it's a super cheap motel, hotel in the middle of the city. And it's just a low-cost housing place where people can flop there. So they pay like a dollar a night or something. It's like not enough to actually keep the building going, but they live there. So anyway, I was just surprised when I saw that. I was like, wow, is this how we solved homelessness back before we decided we wanted to make more money than help people? I don't know. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. There were 74 people, including a dozen children, killed in this fire in Johannesburg. At least 50 others were injured. The city confirmed it owned the building, but said cartels had taken it over. Officials say the cause of the deadly fire is unclear. The building used to be a home for abused women and children, but once the lease expired, it was hijacked, in quotes, according to President Ramaphosa. Many properties around the area where the blaze happened have been deemed unfit to live in. Yet these old blocks, abandoned by their owners or the city authorities, are full of families, often paying rent to criminal gangs who run them. Some of those who use the buildings include undocumented migrants, mostly from other African countries. The buildings lack running water, toilets, or a legal electricity connection, are then said to have been hijacked. South Africa faces a chronic housing shortage with an estimated 15,000 people homeless in Johannesburg. So, pretty terrible way to go. Tin points out, reminds me of a cockroach hotel in Hong Kong. Yep, Quentin, you're right. Starter homes, beginning homes, just places, any place to live, even cheap housing, is dramatically more expensive than you'd imagine. You know, thousands, hundreds of thousands of dollars, $1 million. Anyway, so that's the first death and destruction story we got for you. But don't worry, there's more. Swedish cities, four of them, Swedish cities hit by four residential explosions within an hour of each other. No one is reported injured in blasts, which came as the country struggles to rein in gang-related violence. Bomb squad experts have been called in after Swedish cities were rocked by four explosions in an hour, police have said, with the country struggling to rein in a rise of gang-related violence. Just after 1 a.m. local time, police in Gothenburg received reports of two explosions at separate addresses 10 minutes apart. Both sites have been cordoned off and technical investigations are ongoing. Police added that the National Bomb Squad had been called to the scene. There are no reports of people being injured, only material damage. An hour later, another two explosions were reported minutes apart, one in Norsborg, a suburb south of Stockholm, and the other in Nyköping, about 100 kilometers south of the capital. In both cases, police said no one was hurt. All four blasts were at residential buildings. That's pretty wild that there were residential blasts, but nobody died. Gothenburg police told Agent France Press, or AFP, it was too early to speculate on a motive for the two blasts in the city. In 2022, there were 90 explosions and 101 cases of attempted bombings or preparation for bombings in Sweden, according to police data, and as of August 15th this year, 109 explosions were recorded. So, they like to blow things up in Sweden. Fortunately, nobody was harmed, but man, those buildings sure did blow up. Welcome back, Claudio M. Welcome, welcome. I hope you're safe and all you and yours are staying high and dry. Welcome, welcome. all right. Well, what else is happening? Well, you know, there's plenty more. Not so much death and destruction, but there's death. A double murderer, Alex Murdaugh, has lost his phone privileges after speaking to media. Who would have thought this guy, who is so thirsty for attention, would break the rules about talking on the phone? The convicted double murderer, Alex Murdaugh, has lost his phone privileges and his prison tablet computer after his lawyer recorded him reading his journal entries on a call for a documentary about the case, South Carolina Corrections Department officials have said. Prison policy prohibits inmates from talking to the media, a state prison spokeswoman, Christy Shane, said in a statement. The call was for a Fox Nation documentary series called The Fall of the House of Murdaugh that is set to air on Thursday. The media interview violation, along with another violation for using a different inmate's password to make a telephone call, are prison discipline issues and not a crime, according to Shane. SCDC's interview policy is rooted in victims' rights and is longstanding. The department believes that victims of a crime should not have to see or hear the person who victimized them or their family members on the news. It added, inmates lose the privilege of speaking to the news media when they enter SCDC. Murdaugh, 55, is serving a life sentence without parole for killing his wife and younger son. Prosecutors say Murdaugh, who's now a disbarred attorney, was worried investigators were about to determine he stole millions from his law firm and clients and was trying to win sympathy and buy time to cover up the crimes. We'll see what happens. I guess he already gave the interview, so he'll know how it turns out, I guess, but he won't be able to. He'll have to find out through the post or on TV. There's a super typhoon on the way. Super Typhoon Saola, S-A-O-L-A, Sierra Alpha Oscar Lima Alpha, barrels towards Hong Kong and China, prompting highest level warning. You'll remember they had hellacious flooding not too long ago, and they had to divert a lot of water to smaller towns. Basically, we have to flood these smaller towns to save our larger towns. Well, China has issued its highest warning as Super Typhoon approaches its southeastern coastline on Thursday, threatening its main manufacturing hubs in Guangdong Province and nearby Hong Kong. The powerful storm, which intensified on Wednesday after lashing Taiwan and the Philippines, is currently packing winds exceeding 200 kilometers an hour and is expected to strike Hong Kong and Guangdong in the next 24 hours. That's 125 miles an hour in miles per hour. That's also the speed that the hurricane that hit Florida was going at when it hit there. The typhoon intensified due to the warm waters in the Pacific and was upgraded to Super Typhoon Category 5, which is equivalent to a Category 3 hurricane. China's National Meteorological Center issued a typhoon red warning at 6 a.m. So that's what's going on. So hopefully China and at least the citizens there do okay. Hey, the Strand Brothers pulled out way high out into the road. They had to back up, activating their backup alarm at the stop sign. They are a good meter into the roadway. Oh, they're doing it. They made it before getting hit by an oncoming car. Now we have a cable truck on its way. It looks like they're trying to stop in the middle of the road. No traffic cones. They've got a truck, and they have a big, large spool on the back. Let's see what they're going to do. They've stopped. Are they going to put a tag out? Nope. The guy got out to make a phone call, looks like. He appears to be taking a photo. All right, now he's walking around. Yep. Yeah, he's taking a photo from directly across the street. I'm guessing he's supposed to repair a line or something. Now he's in the middle of the road. Play by play, because he might get hit by something. Now he's in the left turn protected lane. Walking. Okay, crossing the street. One more lane to go. All right, he's on the opposite side. Huh. Now he's still. Oh, he must be using the GPS on his phone, because now he's walked. He walked across the street, then he walked over towards me. Now he's past me. He's walking along the garage on the other side there. Huh, we'll see what happens. Anyway, it's 1923 UTC here on Anon Radio, which means I should remind you in 7 minutes, just right, in just less than 420 seconds, you'll be listening to the Dubious Goals Committee with Tope, a fun show that airs every goddamn day right here on Anon Radio. It's fun. It's hard to explain. Tope is a force of nature. He's our very own Tom Bombadil, and he battles the sun and wind and searches out golf balls, as well as synthesizers, Lord of the Synth, Synthesizer Patel is a recent occurrence. Anyway, stick around. It might take you a few servings, but you'll definitely want to be a member of the Dubious Goals Committee every day at 1930 UTC here on Anon Radio. All right, let's check in with Calm before we talk about the animal news we've got going on. Hey, Ratsu's in the house. Prison tablets, they are like clear iPads, see-through iPads. Atlantic is bumping right now. The water in the Gulf of Mexico is so warm, it's like bath water. True. Classic Strand Brothers. Yeah.
on point. Yep. Yeah, Tobe. I don't know if Tobe has a beard. I get the vibe that Tobe has long hair but no beard. I'm the other way around. I have a long beard and a short haircut. All right. On we go. Let's keep it moving. Let's talk about some animal news. Animal news. Fishing with fear as Philippines stands up to China. That's right. We're scared of China, fisherman Benjo Ate says, as wind and rain batter his small boat. He shouts ordered as young crew, most of them families, they haul ropes to navigate out of the port. They're already bathed in salt water and sweat, but it's not the weather that's frightening them. The Chinese ships circle us and shadow us, he says. When we are anchored, they would force us to leave. They would get rid of us. The Philippines is at the center of a tense territorial standoff with Beijing in the South China Sea. Where previously Manila may have softly whimpered at China's actions to block its ships, its voice has now soared to a roar, emboldened by support from Washington and its allies. In recent months, the Philippines has given the U.S. access to key military bases, hosted the largest ever joint military drills between the two countries, and repeatedly called out Beijing's aggression in the South China Sea. So, we'll see what happens. China wants to consume and control all the water all around its borders. Of course, there are other countries there, and those countries have existed for hundreds of years. Oh, this is great. The truck that was parked, that's parked in the lane of traffic, has multiple vehicles stuck behind it, where they're just kind of waiting. Oh, it looks like they finally gave up. Yep. One car gave up. A truck is stuck behind the other truck because he can't go wide. Oh, but now another car is coming up in the wrong side of the road, driving along. No turn signal yet. Oh, he's past the stop sign. He's entering into the roadway. Now the other truck has come up behind the car. They're both, nobody's using a turn signal anymore. Oh, all right, they are making their way. Oh, a left-hand turn car just turned. Oh, man, they all narrowly missed each other. This unmarked truck with its big spool of material on the back sure is causing a ruckus, causing trouble here, down here on the street below the roof. Okay. Oh, man, my guts. My stomach is mad that I ate such a sugary thing. Shouldn't have eaten that donut. Anyway, more animal news. Get this, the bees. That's right, there's a bee story. Check it, and it's not what you might think. Beekeepers to the rescue after 5 million bees fell off a truck in Canada. That's right. Beekeeper Michael Barber woke up on Wednesday morning to several calls from police looking for help after 5 million bees fell off a truck in Canada. The hives were being transported when the straps holding them in place came loose, allowing them to slip free. Mr. Barber said he arrived to a pretty crazy cloud of bees who were very angry, confused, and homeless. Drivers were told to keep their windows up and pedestrians to stay away. The scene in Burlington, Ontario was unlike anything Mr. Barber has experienced. There was something else, he told the BBC. I hope to never experience it again. Mr. Barber owns Tri-City Bee Rescue in nearby Guelph and said he first received the calls from local police around 7 a.m. informing him there was an accident that resulted in beehives spreading all over the road. At the same time, police put out a public call on social media urging people to stay away from the area. It'd be important, and I hope they also did this on the news and on the radio, because you know what? Not everyone is on social media, and if social media is the only way you're talking to the public, you are doing bad, city. Bad, bad. Anyway, it's 1928 UTC, so that's all I just wanted to tell you about the bees. We got one more animal story for you. Bees, fish, and this comes to us from Nebraska. Bow, bow, bow. Police in Norfolk, Nebraska, responding to calls of a man driving with a cow in his car, were stunned to discover a local man with a huge Watusi bull riding shotgun in his vehicle. The officers received a call referencing a car driving in town that had a cow in it. They thought it was going to be a calf, something small, or something that would actually fit inside the vehicle. In fact, the animal was a Watusi bull, a breed of cattle famous in Africa with gigantic horns. The driver was identified as Tobe of nearby Lincoln. No, I'm kidding. It was Lee Meyer of nearby Neely, and police performed a traffic stop on his car. Mayor told him that the Watusi bull's name was Howdy Doody. The official wrote him some warnings.
There were some citable issues with the situation, and the officer chose to write him a warning and ask him to take the animal back home and leave the city. Apparently, his car was especially outfitted to have the bull as a passenger and promptly did leave the city. So, there you go. Please enjoy the Dubious Goals Committee with Tope, and I hope you have